Hi, friends. This is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're looking at Behold the Lamb of God. This is week 4, the Passover Lamb of whom we partake, based on 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Let me read that verse for you. Get rid of the old yeast, that you may be a new batch without yeast, as you really are. For Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for your word. As we consider Jesus as the Paschal Lamb, the Passover Lamb, the Lamb of God today, speak to our hearts, deepen our understanding. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul writes, Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed. 1 Corinthians 5, 7, echoing the early church's belief that Christ was a fulfillment of the Passover or Paschal Lamb. Incidentally, Pasach is the Hebrew word for Passover. As I study the New Testament, I am becoming more and more convinced that Jesus, too, saw himself in this role and implies as much in his words at the Last Supper, which, it turns out, were shared in the context of an actual Passover meal. Let's explore this aspect of Christ's ministry of atonement as the Passover Lamb. To do this, we need to go back 13 or 14 centuries before Christ to the people of Israel when they were slaves in Egypt. As God begins to deliver Israel from Egypt, he sends Moses to Pharaoh with the demand, "Let my people go." Pharaoh refuses. Following each refusal, God sends plagues of increasing severity upon Egypt, culminating with God's decree that each firstborn son in Egypt would be slain. When Moses declares God's words to Pharaoh, Pharaoh refuses to believe them. To protect from this plague the Israelites who lived in Egypt, God instructs Moses that each household should select a yearling male lamb and slaughter it at dusk on the 14th day of Abib, the Hebrew month that corresponds with March to April. Exodus 12:7. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. During the night, the angel of death passes through Egypt, slaying the firstborn of both men and animals to bring judgment on Pharaoh and the gods of Egypt. Let me read Exodus 12:13. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over Pasach, you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. And then Exodus 12:23, when the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the doorframe and will pass over Pasach, that doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. The Hebrew verb used in these verses is Pasach. And while there are several theories about the meaning of this verb, two seem most plausible. The traditional etymology is the meaning to pass over, that is, the merciful passing over of a destructive power. Some interpret Pasach as meaning to defend, protect, that is, the Lord will protectively cover the houses of the Israelites and will not allow the destroyer to enter. In either case, the blood is a sign to the Lord that the house that bears it should be exempted from the judgment on the firstborn. Just what kind of sacrifice is the initial Paschal Lamb offered at the Exodus? It is not like the scapegoat on the Day of Atonement, Leviticus 16, or one of the morning and evening offerings. Most of these offerings were to atone for sin in some sense, while the commemorative sacrifice of Passover lambs in the temple each year was not considered as an atonement for sin. But what was the significance of the initial sacrifice of Passover lambs on that first Passover? 5 offerings were performed in the tabernacle and later in the temple. We mentioned lesson 1, the sin offering, guilt or reparation offering, burnt offering, peace or fellowship offering, and grain offering. Leviticus 1 through 5. Of these, Old Testament scholar Richard Averbeck observes that the sacrifice of the Passover lamb bears some resemblance to the peace or fellowship offering. In this type of offering, a representative piece of meat is offered before the Lord and to the priests. The rest is eaten by the offerer and his family as a kind of celebration meal, similar to the celebration meal of the Passover. Averbeck also notes similarities between the original Passover act of placing blood on the doorpost and lintel and the ordination of priests, where blood is placed on the priest's ear, right thumb, and right big toe as an act of consecration, Leviticus 8:23-24. He sees the initial Passover offering as a consecration, or setting apart of the people within each household who partook of the sacrifice. Israel's sin doesn't seem to be in the forefront. Rather, the lamb seems to be a kind of substitute or interposition for the firstborn males and animals in the household. However, there may be some kind of expiation or purification present, since hyssop is used to smear the blood. Elsewhere, hyssop is associated with expiation and purification. In addition, some rabbinical writings refer to the redemptive effect of the blood of the Passover lamb. Well, let's pause for discussion question 1. In what way did the lambs of the first Passover protect the families of God's people? Exodus 12. What was the primary point of comparison between the first Passover lambs and what Christ did for us as our Passover lamb? Jews were instructed to partake of the Passover annually to celebrate and commemorate God redeeming them from slavery in Egypt. By Jesus' day, Passover was to be celebrated only within the precincts of Jerusalem, so the city was jam-packed with pilgrims during this season. There is some question whether the Last Supper Jesus held with his disciples was a Passover meal or a special meal the day before Passover. The Synoptic Gospels are pretty clear that the Last Supper was a Passover meal, but the chronology of John's Gospel seems to indicate that Jesus was crucified just before the Passover began. These can probably be harmonized by assuming the use of different calendars among the Jews, but I'm convinced that the Last Supper was indeed held on Passover as part of the Passover meal. Let's look at some of the elements of the Passover meal as it might have been held in Jesus' day. Each element of the meal was blessed and then commented upon, the Haggadah, by the head of the household, in this case, Jesus. Unleavened bread was a symbol of the past misery and the speed with which the Israelites had to pack and leave before the bread had risen, Exodus 12:34. Bitter herbs represented the bitterness of slavery, Exodus 12:8. Fruit puree was reminiscent of the clay the Israelites used to make bricks in their captivity as slaves in Egypt. And the Passover lamb was a reminder of God's merciful passing over. This was a very special meal, since neither wine nor meat were common as everyday fare. Here's a reconstruction of the meal, based on the research of New Testament scholar Joachim Jeremias. 1. The preliminary course. It starts with the blessing of the festival day, Kiddush, spoken over the first cup of wine, and then a preliminary dish of green herbs, bitter herbs, and fruit sauce is served. Then the serving of the meal proper, but not yet eating it, and mixing the second cup of wine. 2. The Passover liturgy. The head of the family says the Passover narrative, the Haggadah. He recounts the story of coming out of Egypt. There's the singing of Psalm 113, which is called the Little Hallel, and the drinking of the second cup of wine. And then comes the third part, the main meal. A blessing is spoken over bread by the head of the family. It's broken and distributed to those at the table. Here is when Jesus would have blessed the bread, broken it, and distributed it to his disciples. And he forever made it special, setting it apart with his unique words, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then the eating of the meal of lamb, unleavened bread, and bitter herbs. Finally, the blessing is spoken over the third cup of wine called the cup of blessing. See that in 1 Corinthians 10:16. Here, before the concluding hymn, that is, the great Hallel, Jesus would have blessed the cup and said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of it, all of you." Finally, the conclusion. They would sing together Psalms 114 to 118, called the Great Hallel, recalling the words, "When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives," Matthew 26:30. And finally, a blessing is spoken over the fourth cup of wine. Well, if this outline of the Passover meal at the Last Supper is accurate, then Jesus' words about the bread being his body and the cup being his blood are immediately adjacent to eating the Passover lamb. I can't escape the conclusion that Jesus' words were interpreted by his disciples and probably intended by Jesus to be understood in relation to the Passover and the Passover lamb. Clearly, the early church thought of Jesus as the Paschal or Passover lamb that had been sacrificed, 1 Corinthians 5:7. Perhaps the analogy is, Jesus interposes himself to redeem his people from their bondage to sin, just as the Passover lamb was interposed to redeem the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt. Well, let's pause for discussion question two. Compare the annual Jewish Passover celebration meal in Jesus' day with the Christian celebration of the Lord's Supper. What are the similarities? Where are the differences? It's pretty clear that what we call Jesus' words of institution use clear sacrificial language. Let me read again Matthew 26, verses 26 to 28. "While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take and eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" These words of institution are found with some variations in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and 1 Corinthians 11. While I can't be exhaustive, let's briefly examine Matthew's account. Most striking to me in this passage are Jesus' words, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." One, Jesus associates the red wine with his own blood, then asks the disciples to drink it. This would be startling to anyone, especially to Jews who were prohibited from drinking blood. In John 6:53-57, such offensive words cause some disciples to leave Jesus and no longer follow him. Coupled with Jesus asking the disciples to eat bread that he identified as his body, we have a remarkable and powerful image. Jesus is asking the disciples to feed on him, to unite themselves to him and to his death, using a very intimate and powerful figure. How could the disciples forget such a vivid idea? They couldn't. Jesus intended that they remember. The second point I want to make is that Jesus identifies his blood with the institution of a new covenant. Though the original manuscripts of Matthew's Gospel may have omitted the word new, The concept of a new covenant was surely in his mind. The concept of the blood of the covenant is found in Exodus 27, verses 7 and 8, where blood is sprinkled over the people of Israel when they agree to the original covenant that they were making with Yahweh at the foot of Mount Sinai. But the prophet Jeremiah heralded the coming of a new covenant of forgiveness of sins, replacing the Mosaic covenant. Let me read from Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. They will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. Let's pause for discussion question 3. Why should the words, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins," fill us with sorrow? Why should they fill us with joy? The third point I want to make is that Jesus links his death with the suffering servant's sacrifice for the sins of many. As mentioned in Lesson 2 of this series, the phrase "for many" points back to Isaiah 53, verses 11 and 12, where the servant bore the sin of many. Jesus uses the phrase "poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin." To pour out blood in order to obtain forgiveness for another is clearly the concept of a blood sacrifice. In our day, some who are offended by this concept seek to reinterpret the meaning of the Lord's Supper, but it's pretty hard to hide the truth that Jesus intended it to remember his death as a sacrifice for sins. Discussion question number 4. Why is it so important to forgive those who have offended us before partaking of the Lord's Supper? In what sense are the Lord's Supper and unforgiveness incompatible? In your discussion, you might want to consider these verses, Matthew 26:28, 1 Corinthians 11:27, Matthew 6:14 and 15, and 5:23-24, and James 5:16. The fourth point I want to make is that in this meal, Jesus looks forward to the ultimate Passover in the kingdom of God. Matthew 26:29 reads, "I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Here, Jesus is referring to the great banquet alluded to in both Old and New Testaments. The Jews of Jesus' day saw this as a final or eschatological Passover celebration with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the other patriarchs and prophets. Let's look at discussion question 5. In what way does each celebration of the Lord's Supper anticipate a future Passover meal? And for this discussion, you might want to look at passages in Matthew 26, Luke 13, Revelation 19:9, 1 Corinthians 11:26. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. And in the Lord's Supper, we are invited to partake not only of the sacrifice, but to celebrate both our redemption through Christ's atonement and his coming again. The next time you have the privilege of partaking of the Lord's Supper, remember and be thankful. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the rich imagery of Christ as our Passover lamb. Thank you for his willingness to be sacrificed on our behalf. Thank you for the comfort and hope that we find in the Lord's Supper. And thank you for the expectation we have of the final banquet with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.